So let's pray and ask for the Lord to bless our time now in His Word as we consider these first nine verses, the call of Abraham. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for granting unto us this account in the life of this businessman. He was called by You, chosen by You, challenged to trust You, and he stepped out in faith. We pray that You would enable us to see the work of the Spirit here, and also we pray that the Spirit would do that same work with us as You did in Abraham, who was an idolater, who was a pagan, and yet You, by Your grace, brought the gospel to bear. And he believed, he embraced the truth, and he became a blessing to multitudes of descendants, both physically and spiritual descendants. And so we pray that You'd strengthen our faith as well as we study this portion of Your holy word. Open our eyes that we may see Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was Abram? And it's a challenge because we know his name is Abraham, but initially it was Abram, and I struggle when I read it, this text as well, to wanting to add the ham to it. But Abram, what does the name Abram mean? The name Abram means exalted father. Okay, which is fascinating because he didn't have any children. And yet he was named one who would be a father by his father. It says in our text that he's the son of Terah, that he was from Macedonia, or where we would now call Iraq. He was raised in the city of Ur of the Babylonians or the Chaldeans. Scripture says that he was a pagan idolater. He believed in many gods. Now, does that shock you? Abraham was an idolater. Abraham was a pagan. Abraham was a Gentile when he was called. He was also a wealthy businessman who had no children. He had no future. He had acquired all of this wealth, but who is he going to give it to? Pass it on. But Scripture also says that Abram was a man of faith. We read that in Hebrews, didn't we? By faith, we read. He stepped out. He believed that God would keep his promises. If you noticed in Hebrews, in chapter 11, it says, he went not knowing where he was going. That strikes me as you read our text this morning. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. It would be like as if God were to say to you, start walking and I'll tell you when to stop. And Abraham believed God and obeyed and did what God commanded. And through that faith, blessings rain down upon the world even today. As a matter of fact, we are all sitting here, we are all here assembled because of Abraham. We'll talk about that as we go along. In the bulletin, you have an outline and you have my main point. It's a long one. The Lord God determined to save the many by means of the one. Now, we know the rest of the story. The one is Jesus, right? We know that he is our Savior. But it was through Abraham. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. That is the way that God had determined to save the many. And so out of the whole human race, God called one man to trust his promises and to become the means through which God's mercy and compassion was fully realized. Now, when I say that statement, you think of Jesus, but I'm talking about Abram. His life was a life of faith, which reflects the prayer of Augustine, who prayed, "Grant what you command and command what you desire." Actually, got Augustine in trouble, got into a big argument over that statement with Pelagius. God, you are sovereign. Command what you will. Tell me what to do. And also provide the ability to do it. We are called to walk in the footsteps of faithful Abraham and to trust God's exceedingly great and precious promises. In order to trust them, what is it that you need, though? The first thing you need is you need to know them. How can you trust something you don't know about? How can you trust someone if you don't know them? The second is, if you know them, do they inform your daily walk as you go about your life? Are they at all in your mind? And thirdly, do they bring comfort in times of trouble? Imagine again, Abram, as it says in Hebrews, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for something better than what he could find on earth. Do we have that same mind and heart? So again, context, we are looking at beginnings. We're kind of laying a foundation. We're getting ready to get into the book of Joshua. It may take us about another month or so to get there. It's probably the longest introduction to a book of the Bible that I've ever done or will do. Maybe will do. Can't say that. But we're entering into the book of Joshua. But before we do, we need to kind of understand what was happening behind the scenes and beforehand. So we've looked at Genesis chapter 1, and we looked at God creating all things and God creating man and the blessings that God had given man. And then last week, we looked at Adam's response to the blessings of God, which was unbelief and disobedience, and he fell, and so did all of us. As we said, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. And so now we also looked at the grace of God, the gospel, the first gospel proclaimed by God himself in the garden, that the seed of woman would crush the head of the serpent. And now we come to, as Luther says, the second proclamation of the gospel, according to the Apostle Paul here in our text. And so we're seeing the outworking of that grace that was extended to Adam and Eve now being extended to Abraham. The context, immediate context of our text is the rebellion of man in his attempt to disobey God again. God had commanded mankind to scatter. And what did they do? They came together and they were building a tower lest they be scattered upon the face of the earth. And so therefore God scattered them by separating them via language. The Lord had his way. And the consequences we see even today. And so let us consider our three points, and notice they all begin with faith. Faith listens, first point. Faith obeys, second point. And faith receives. So first point, faith listens when God speaks. Notice in chapter 12, verse 1, our text, "Now the Lord had said to Abram." In that, God, number one, chose Abram, called Abram, revealed to Abram his word and his grace. This is a word of grace. This is a gospel. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, we read that in our devotional beforehand, that God preached to Abraham the gospel here in this text, that in you, verse 3, shall all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Through you, through your seed, would come the blessing. In essence, what God is calling Abram to do is to forsake the world, to deny himself. Do we know of anybody else in the Bible that said that we are to forsake the world and to deny ourselves? His name is Jesus. What did he say? Deny yourself, live for the world. Do whatever is right in your own eye. Is that what Jesus said? No, he says, deny yourself, take up your electric chair, means of execution. That's what a cross was. It was the means through which the most horrible way to die in the Roman Empire that the Romans had invented was the cross. Take up your cross daily and follow me. That's our calling. Deny yourself, forsake the world, and follow me. Follow me to a place. Follow me to a land that I will show you. So here we see the beginning of Abram's faith in the true God. That faith is tested. As I've said before, faith is a gift of God, but faith is like the gift of your muscles. In order for your muscles to grow, what do you have to do? You have to test them. Popularity of gyms is to take weights and destroy muscle. Isn't that a strange thought? But that's what you do. You go to a gym to work out and you lift weights for the purpose of causing those muscles to fail, because in the failure, then the body recovers and rebuilds stronger. And so slowly but surely over time, and I would suggest for those of you that are using weights, take your time. Don't be like me. I went too fast one time and threw up my back. Take your time. But the point is, faith is like a muscle. It's tested by God. God wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And it requires us to exercise that which God has given to us. Do we trust Him? Do you know Him? Do you know His word? Abraham receives the word, and what does he do? He goes out. What is that word? Now, notice in our text, God says, I will, seven times. God gives Abram seven promises. Get out of your country. Actually, it says go, literally in Hebrew. Go from your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Trust me. I will show you. Start walking and I'll show you when to stop. Two, I will make you a great nation. Now stop and think about it. Here's a man who's 86 years old, doesn't have any children, and God says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Well, how are we going to do that, God? I got to have children to have a nation from me. Trust me. Thirdly, I will bless you. I will bless you. And fourthly, I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Next one, I will bless those who bless you. Multitude of people who blessed you are going to be blessed. And notice, and I will curse the one who curses you. In other words, there will be some, but there will be little. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So the seven I wills, I will give you a land. I will show you a land. I will make you a great nation. I will give you seed. I will bless you personally. I will give you a great name. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And I will give you offspring, your offspring, this land. That's in verse 7. Something he had not had at that time. What does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with you? Well, you're a child of Abraham. Remember that one Sunday school song? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's go marching on. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Now the song is in your head. It won't go away, right? We are children of Abraham if we believe God's promises through his son, Jesus Christ. And so you are a Jew. The word means praise. You are a praise unto God if you believe the gospel. We have a right to claim that identity as the people of God. Like Abraham, who was a Gentile. We, most of us, were Gentiles, are Gentiles, but yet we are sons of Abraham. Do we believe? Do we trust God and his promises? Second point, faith obeys even when it doesn't make sense. And again, stop and think about it. Would it make sense, Abram, for him to leave his home, his country, his family, and to start walking? I mean, if I were to say that to you, you'd think I'm crazy. Who do you think you are, pastor? God was calling Abram to total abandonment of things that he held near and dear. All that was significant to him, his identity. He didn't have children, but he did have family around, and he was told to leave them behind. He was called to totally trust, full total trust in God's word and God's faithfulness to his word. And again, remember, this guy was an idolater. This guy was a pagan. This guy worshiped many gods. And now the true God speaks to him, and he drops all that and says, okay, here I go. Where are we going? Faith obeys even when it doesn't make sense. He believed God's word. He left Haran and all of the security that family provided. As a matter of fact, in our text, it says twice that Abram departed. This was a significant act on his part, a stepping out, if you will, in faith. And what does God do? Look at verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So stop and think about it again. The word of the Lord comes to him. It doesn't necessarily say the Lord appeared to him. He just spoke to him. But now the Lord strengthens his faith as he arrives into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. Now God appears to him and speaks to him again and gives him that seventh promise. This is the land that I was telling you about. I give this to you and to your descendants. What descendants? I don't have any descendants at this time. I believe that you're going to give me children. And God says, I got that this land is going to be theirs. God strengthens his faith. By grace, he speaks to him and reveals himself to him. And Abram's response is to do what? To build an altar. To set a point saying, okay, this is where God appeared to me. This is where God told me that this place right here belongs to me. I may not own the land yet, but this belongs to me. This is God's promise. It says further, he endured in faith, verses 8 to 9. What does it say? He moved from there to the mountain at east of Bethel. He pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. There he built an altar again, an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Notice, he's living in a tent. He's no longer living in a city. He's no longer living in a house. He's moving from place to place in a tent. He endured. Though he had no seed, though he had no permanent place, though he had no security, as the world would call it, yet he trusted and obeyed. What about you? Again, I ask the question, do you know him? Do you know his will? Do you know his word? Do you read your Bible? Do you memorize it? Do you meditate on it? Do you take the promises of God, the I wills of God, and place them in your heart and say, okay, God, I believe you. Earlier we said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Where did I get that? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Okay, you know where it's at, right? Have you ever used that? Have you ever clung to that? Have you ever been when you are on your own case about how unworthy I am? What's the one hymn talks about us being worms, right? How unworthy we are, or even in our catechism, I'm prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Devil, get lost. I don't want to hear your accusations. There is no condemnation because I'm in Christ. And I'm righteous before God. Is it? I am righteous in Christ before God and... anybody remember that catechism question, 59? And an heir of eternal life. Right? Who am I? I'm righteous in Christ. Who am I? I'm a Christian. Who am I? I belong to Jesus. That's who I am. Because of what Jesus has done. I know that to be true. Do you know and trust, believe, or have confidence in the faithfulness of God, that he who promises will do it? That's the real struggle sometimes, right? Oh, I can hear what it says, but for me to actually trust God, God, I don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. We sang earlier the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, one of my favorite hymns. When I was considering going to seminary, that was a song that I was singing as I was praying and asking God, do you want me to go? Do you want me to step out in faith? I had three children. Becky was pregnant with number four. And it was a crazy idea to go to seminary. No income, unemployed, or would be, turned down jobs. And as I struggled with, Lord, is this really what you want me to do, or am I being foolish? But yet God had led, and that song is what was on my lips. Great is your faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning in thee. That was Abraham. Do you obey what God commands, even if it doesn't make sense? Do you confess what you believe? And here's the challenging one. Do we endure? Do you endure? Sometimes we can start off. Years ago, I ran the 2 mile in high school. The 2 mile is easy to run the first lap. It's the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the seventh and the eighth is the killer. First time I ran the 2 mile, I was a miler. I ran the mile, and someone stuck me on the very end of the 2 mile, and I took off when the gun went off, and I'm running like the mile, and everybody's way far behind me because they're all know, look, watch that idiot. He doesn't know that this is 2 miles. Guess what? Every single one of them passed me on that first run because I ran the mile and I had a mile to go and I had nothing left. It's easy to start out. Can we endure? That's the challenge. God can do it. Do we trust Him? Do we have confidence in His faithfulness? Third point. Faith receives the blessings God has promised. Again, look at verse 7 of our text. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your seed, to your descendants, I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. This land that you're standing on is a fulfillment of the promise that I showed you while you were back in Iraq, while you were back in Haran. This is the land of promise. And what did Abraham do? He built an altar. Again, we read, just reading what we read earlier from Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, looking at verses 8, 9, and 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which had a foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He had the land. He was waiting for the dwelling place. He received that which God had promised. Secondly, he received again a promise of descendants. And later on, in the book of Genesis, we see God fulfilling that promise in a son named Laughter, or Isaac. And Paul will say, in Isaac is the promise that that blessing would come through the seed, through Isaac. It was Isaac that God chose to be the recipient and the one through whom would come the Messiah. Thirdly, we see faith receives the blessings, and that was personal blessings and protection from enemies. Remember, he left that which was security and protection, and he traveled. Remember, he went down into Egypt, and guess what? He had a beautiful wife. And Pharaoh noticed, and remember, these are potentates. These are guys that could say, well, you know what? I like that woman. She's mine now. And if you get in my way, I'll kill you. And yet God protected Abram and Sarai. Twice he was tested, wasn't he? And yet God protected him. When Lot was captured, when the armies of the east attacked, Abram went out with his trained servants and defeated an army that had defeated 5 kings. God protected Abraham and provided. Abram's name was changed to Abraham. That name is still known and loved today. And stop and think about it. Abram was an insignificant businessman when God called him. And yet now, I have a son named Abraham, named after Abraham of the Bible, not Abraham Lincoln, Abraham. My son Abraham buys cloth for his business in L.A., and a lot of the merchants are either Muslim or Jews. Now, he likes to go by the name Abe, but when he's dealing with them, he goes by the name Abraham. Why? Oh, your name is Abraham. Oh, that's a great name. The Muslim, Muhammad, one of his suppliers. Oh, Abraham, what a great name your parents named. Abraham, you named him. Or the Jews. Oh, your name is Abraham. Do you know how significant that is? And for us as believers, Abraham, we are sons of Abraham. He was given a great name. It's still known and loved today. And finally, another promise that he received was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ in verse 3. Luther said it this way. Luther felt that the promise of God in Genesis 12:3 foretold not only the redemption of the race, but even the incarnation of Jesus. He said that it should be written, quote, in golden letters and should be extolled in the languages of all people. For who else has dispensed this blessing among all nations except the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ? So Luther says, ultimately, Jesus is the seed that would bring the blessings to all nations. And so it is the second declaration. And again, who is the preacher of the gospel here in our text? It is God himself, again, who brings the gospel message to Abraham, and he believed. Believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are blessed in Abraham, our forefather. But why? Why has God blessed you? So you can consume it upon your lust? No. According to Psalm 67, you are blessed in order to be a blessing to the world. Your response, the call, is to bless God for his grace and to trust him with your life. So if you want to summarize all of that down, all of that half hour or so, that's the point. Bless God. Praise God. Thank God for what he has given you, for the blessings that he has given you through Abram, through Jesus, through the Word, through your brothers and sisters, and trust him with your life. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for saving Abraham and Sarai, even renaming them and giving unto them great and precious, exceedingly great and precious promises, and keeping those promises. And we are part of those stars that he saw in the heavens. We are those descendants that have been blessed and are called to be a blessing. We pray that you would enable us to fulfill our calling, to step out in faith, even if it doesn't make sense, and to walk in the footsteps of our father Abraham. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.